Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of Ian's Untitled Scene Show. My name is Ian, and I am once again very excited because I have a return of another friend of the show. He hasn't been on the show for a long time, but he has not been away from our hearts. Please, everyone, welcome Al of Ascent Like Wolves. Al, man, how are you doing today?
Oh, yo. I'm doing pretty good, man. Things are looking up, that's for sure. How are you doing?
That is good to hear. Well, you know, and actually, I kind of want to get into this a little bit. So we had talked before. We have a lot in common. We have a lot of similar interests. You know, we kind of grew up overseas as well. So, you know, one of your favorite bands and one of mine is Funeral for a Friend. We've talked about that many a time. But you're also a Liverpool fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I got a scarf right there.
There we go. Nice. I like seeing it. So did you watch the match on Sunday?
I did not because I was actually not feeling well that day. I was telling you earlier, I went to urgent care.
Right.
that's how I spent my Sunday instead of watching the match. But I was also working. So it was a bummer. But, you know, great news for LFC fans.
Yes.
Around the world.
So. Exactly. We were actually supposed to record the show the next day, but I had completely lost my voice. Just from celebrating. And by the way, we can say to our mutual buddy, Rick, fuck you. Fuck man you. We did it. We always do.
Yep.
And he'll love that. No one else will care, but he will certainly love that for sure.
Yep.
So you haven't been feeling well this week. You had the urgent care visit. You had to deal with that. What's the prognosis of, is it something that's going to pass or it's something you've dealt with for a while?
Well, I don't know if I've told you this before, but I have type 1 diabetes. So,
right.
I've had that for about half of my life. So that's ongoing. And last year I found out I had celiac disease too.
Oh. Okay.
And so this thing that I went to urgent care for Sunday was for, I guess, like acid reflux related or something. And I had to go to urgent care for it about a few years ago before. But yeah, I've just been having, I had like really bad chest pain and stuff. Ooh. So. I mean, you know, they say go check that stuff out. That's serious. So
yeah.
that's what I ended up doing. But so I'm feeling a little better and hoping that this will just sort of like pass over.
Right.
Like it did before.
Okay, good. Well, this coincides as well with not only, you know, we talked about Liverpool because that's fun, but then also you just had the brand new album Distant Dystopia come out as well. I mean, besides having to work, did that kind of rain on the parade a little bit? Was the excitement kind of, yeah.
It did, man. Yeah. It kind of just,
I'm
sorry. It kind of killed it for me a little bit because it was literally, I went out to celebrate last Friday night at a brewery in Hershey.
Oh, nice.
Pennsylvania called Trogues. You know that
yeah,
place?
Yeah, I know Trogues. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was my first time actually going to the brewery. So It was a pretty cool experience. I didn't drink too much. Had a couple flights, really, sure. And shared it with my fiance. But
yes,
yeah, that's it. So,
gotcha.
The next day, I guess I drank too much caffeine while I was working or something, and that kind of caused my issue. But yeah, it did. You know, it was kind of a downer this week a little bit because I've just been worried, I guess. But
right,
you know,
yeah, man, I am sorry. I am sorry about all that. I did want to congratulate you, though. We'll talk about the positives here. I want to congratulate you on getting engaged. I think that was, October of last year?
It was at the end of September, but I think I might have only made that public. Like,
oh, that's right. But... yeah, we talked privately, but yeah, that went out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, what did you guys decide on? Have you guys been planning anything?
I think we're sort of looking at next year.
Okay.
And just kind of like, you know, taking it easy this year, saving up a bunch of cash,
yeah,
stuff like that. So, you know, normal things.
Yeah, totally makes sense. That is way over my head because I have not had to do anything like that, but I always congratulate people when it happens because I know people are very happy, but it's always
Thank
a
you.
Difference of whether, yeah, man, I mean, it's always a difference though, too, of who's going to rush into it really quick. Or take your time and make sure you find out everything that you want to do before you actually do it. So it seems like you're on the right path.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's complicated sometimes because, you know, I have health problems and some of my interests are in touring and I've been asked recently, I guess I'm not really supposed to talk about this yet, but I've been asked to do some touring work for like, sort of like a bigger band, like in our genre. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, can I leave the job that I have right now with no health insurance? Because I'm a person who needs health insurance. So,
right.
Yeah, it's complicated. But, you know, some people are like, oh, just, you know, hurry up and get it official at the courthouse. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, this isn't for a green card. I think you're fine.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just like, you know, that can wait. I want to do everything like properly and like what feels right to do that. So
that's good. Yeah. We got to talk about the positives for sure. But that is an interesting, I guess, concept or idea that you have too about going out on tour with another band. Because right now, Ascent Like Wolves, I don't think has toured or played live since what, 2022, maybe somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's almost been about 2 years since we've actually played a show.
Gotcha.
Which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is that, I'm certainly not blaming your illness on that, because I think there was other things going on. But right now, is that one of the things you have to worry about, is going on tour because of this?
Definitely right now. It kind of sucks because I was hit up about this future endeavor like a week or so ago before I started feeling bad.
Yeah.
And I was hit up about it again today. So, you know, I kind of have to like weigh my options, I guess. But yeah, it's always been like a struggle for me on tour, honestly, man. It's just trying to like, you know, keep my spirits up and maintain like healthy blood sugar levels and like not get sick. And and if I get sick on tour, which it usually happens like, you know, every other tour or something, my blood sugar like raises and stuff. So it's just kind of hard to contain. And I think just getting sick on tour is pretty easy just because you're many, many different places, meeting so many people. It's kind of inevitable.
Yeah, man, that's gotta be really rough. I mean, I've seen you on tour before. You've done it multiple times for sure, but it had to have been a struggle then to be able to balance things. I know things have got to be a little bit better nowadays in finding better food and, you know, what you have to do to keep things up, but you're still a touring band. There's still, like you said, tons of people that want to meet you, that want to talk to you. So you have all the other issues that can, I mean, people are still out there getting COVID. They're still out there getting cold. You know, vocalists are losing their voice. All that kind of stuff happens when you're on tour on a regular basis. So add in the extra stress of what you're going through. It's got to be really tough.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. I remember being on tour in China the second time we were there, 6 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. And close to the last couple of days of tour, I got really sick. And we had one final show in Guangzhou, China. Mm-hmm. And I like basically couldn't talk, but I still played the show anyway. It probably sounded horrible, but I had a fan come up to me after the show and was just like, why did you do that? Like, you can't even talk. Like, they knew, but I was just like, well, I didn't want to cancel the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we flew halfway across the world to come over here.
Exactly. So. Right. Yeah. That's, I remember you telling, that was one of the first times you were on the show. I believe we talked about that tour and maybe some Japan.
Yes, yes.
That was a lot of fun going through that. I still plan on going to Japan. I was actually supposed to go this year, this upcoming April, but it got canceled, unfortunately. So I'm going to try. Yeah, I'm trying to get in there sometime in that March or April range. Did I say
the cherry blossom correctly? Season?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So probably next year.
Yeah, man. I mean, if that's like your goal and that's what you want to see, I would definitely do that. It's funny because I was talking to Brittany about this too, that we want to go to Japan around the same time next year.
Oh, nice.
Because we can't do it this year.
Right.
So,
yeah, this year's packed full of stuff. Yeah. It's just not going to work.
I think you'll have a great time there, man. Honestly, I think Japan is probably one of the best countries I've ever been to, or may even, you know, just been to in general or any time in the future. So. I think they're always going to hold that title for like most travelers. So
very, very true. And that's why I'm looking forward to it so much. Like, I might go, I'm hoping to go see Liverpool play because, you know, it's Klopp's last season and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that'll be fun. But Japan was going to be the big thing. And unfortunately, it did not work out. But it is what it is. So let's talk more Ascent Like Wolves, obviously. We'll get to a lot of stuff for sure. But besides what you've been feeling this recent week, how has everything been going with how the feedback has been? You know, how has the band reacted to everything? Because like I mentioned, Distant Dystopia just came out recently. So I've gotten to listen to it multiple times. I'm a huge fan of what you guys did. I'm a fan of everything you guys do, but you did not turn me off to your music, especially. So you still have a huge fan over here. So what has been that feedback, and how has the band been feeling about everything?
I think the feedback has been generally pretty positive for the release, which is good. And I'm glad to see that on the on the interwebs. I think, you know, some of it too is like the half of our fan base is pretty polarized by it. I think just because of all the electronic elements and stuff we've added. Which is kind of like weird for me, I guess, because we have synth a lot in our music anyway. But
well, that's what I kind of want to mention. If there's anybody in the scene who has been more vocal against just throwing electronics into the music, it's me. If I enjoy the music and I didn't come after you for adding synths and all that kind of stuff, I don't know what people are hearing, because every other band throws that stuff in and leaves out the metalcore, the metal, or any of that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
And they're fine with it. They're like, oh my God, that's so amazing. So why would anyone be up your ass about it? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I mean, it's crazy because like Vistagoras has all that kind of layering on it, where that album sort of had shifted that way and became less metalcore.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things we sort of saw the comments from fans last time was that it wasn't heavy enough. So this time we were like, all right, fuck it. Like, we'll just kind of do what we did on Mystagora's, enhance like the synth and kind of, you know, get a little crazy that way. But we're going to tune our guitars down and throw some breakdowns and stuff in there too.
Right.
And you can't win. You can't win. You know what I mean? No, I think I saw like, I think it was like Reddit or somewhere. They were like, I don't know about this. Like, I can't. I'm just like, all right, well. Like, what do you guys want from us?
Well, exactly. But that's a weird thing to me is when I listen to Distant Dystopia, I hear a mature veteran band. That's what I hear. I don't hear you guys struggling. I hear you taking your time, knowing where to put each element of what you guys do, and in a very relaxed and calm way. And I can say I've heard that in different eras of what you guys have done. But this album to me feels like you guys are in your comfort zone. Is that how you guys felt?
Yeah. I think I personally feel this way. I feel like, and it's not just because it's new or anything, but I feel like this is the Ascent Like Wolves album I've always wanted to make.
Nice.
Like it's got traces of our roots. Yep. It's got traces of the future, and we're all big fans of just like rock music in general, but we like 80s stuff. We like, we like R&B, we like hip hop, you know? And I think we've really gotten to hone in like into that for this album, but also like in Mystagoras too. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, I think like both of those records are like, like most cohesive and like best, like writing capabilities are showcased on there as well.
Yeah. I would also say that they're almost dichotomies of each other as well, because even though I also like Mystagoras, obviously we talked about that before, I would agree that you guys definitely embraced a little bit more poppiness in what you were doing. Mm. Obviously there are pop elements to what you guys do for sure. But in Distant Dystopia, I hear a heavy band that has added everything they've done in their career and then also has a little 80s synth in it, but it's not driving what you guys are doing. It's adding ambiance and tone to what you're doing. At least that's the way I feel.
It's a good description.
Thank you. That's
I finally got something right. I'm glad you noticed that. I mean, you know, that's kind of just what we've been doing. And, you know, obviously like that part of the music sort of comes later. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of play around with like the synths, but first we have to sort of like write the song structure with the guitar and like figure out some vocal melodies and whatnot first.
Right.
But our guitarist, Jeff, he like, literally made all the arrangements for all the songs.
And
me, Cody, and Nick would do our thing then after, you know, listening to like the demo versions of them and just kind of get a feel for them. Honestly, this is the direction we sort of wanted to take the next album. And we always write music for us. And I know a lot of bands do that too. That sounds pretty cliche, but I mean, if we're not writing stuff that we're not, you know, enjoying or happy with, then what's the point of doing it? You know?
Right. Yes, exactly. Now, when you talk about actually putting everything together, one of the things I wanted to check on was, if I'm not mistaken, I think the first single was Force Field, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That came out in July of 2023. And obviously, I just mentioned that Distant Dystopias came out last week, which is the end of February. So
yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's a long ass time in between.
Yeah, I think like the idea was like we were just kind of testing the waters to see if like anybody still cared, and we were sort of feeling out the playlisting, the algorithms, all this stuff changes every time we put out a release. Like we sort of have to try and think of how we need to market ourselves again,
right,
every time.
Mm-hmm.
So Mystic Auras, you can see I have this like nice plaque back here. We made some pretty good like numbers, and you know,
congrats.
We made like a splash out there in the water. But
nice.
I think it was easier to do that at the time because everybody was shut in their house and they weren't allowed to go anywhere.
True, true. Yep.
It was easier to sell like record units online, and people were just glued to their phones and on the internet and stuff and paying attention to music. You know, and before that, when we released Frigid Future back in 2016, YouTube was sort of like the way to go, and like making music videos and marketing yourselves that way. Like Facebook was pretty much the only real big platform besides Instagram back then to sort of like market yourselves. And now it seems to be TikTok, and TikTok, correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't have any paid advertising on there at all. And we've seen some success posting on there, and like sometimes we don't, but that's kind of just the way things are trending now. I'm not too big of a fan of the app, but I've been using it here and there, and it seems to get some pretty good reactions.
I think that's a big thing then. If it's getting reactions and it's getting people listening to music, it doesn't matter if people don't necessarily, because I'm one of probably the few that doesn't use it, but there are tons of people. I mean, how many viral TikTok videos have like brought people to Pierce the Veil and a bunch of other bands, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing, man. It's like, you know, I don't really care like what app becomes popular in that regard, but as long as we're still reviving like that kind of good music for younger generations to come, that's awesome.
Sure.
You know? So yeah, the album cycle was a while. I think we were initially planned to like kick off stuff officially in October when Spellcaster came out.
Yes. Okay.
And start our album cycle that way. So we should have made it a little shorter. I know, Nick, it's funny that you mentioned that though, because Nick called me the other day and he rang me up and he was like, man, what a long album cycle that was.
Well then, I mean, obviously that's when the first single came out, but how long has the album been done then?
Oh God. We started working on that in 2021, like a couple months after Mystic Auras was done.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So we actually recorded Sunscape and we recorded Familiar Beings in 2021, like the same week. And we were going to release some singles, and Sunscape was just too fucking good of a song to do that. And we felt that it could be more of like an album single.
Sure.
So then we released that in September of last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy when you do stuff like that, because we just released it as a standalone single before announcing the album. And like, sometimes the algorithms don't really pick it up for your playlisting and all that,
right.
You know, new fun stuff that goes along with music. So Spellcaster was like our first official single when announcing the album.
Okay.
So it seems that the streaming services like that a lot when the metadata is announced of an album, and then you seem to get put on the playlists and stuff.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's plenty of layers there to dive into, but it changes all the time.
Yes.
So you can never really figure it out.
Right.
But yeah, so we like held on to those songs for a while. I mean, COVID was still kind of, the pandemic was still sort of taking place then anyway.
Yeah.
I know I had tickets to see Funeral for a Friend over in the UK, and
that's
it got rescheduled three times.
Yep.
Yeah. So we held on to it, and then we recorded like the rest of the album in 2022 in the summertime, and at the very end of the year we recorded a little bit as well. So it's been done for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, that's a very long time. Now, by the way, I forget this. Did you ever get to go to the Funeral for a Friend show?
I did.
That's right. We talked about it at the, it clicked there. So please tell everyone what that was like. How many times have you seen them before?
That was my first time. That was my first time seeing them. And I'm glad I went too, because Matt is no longer in the band.
Which is crazy to think about. It really is.
It is crazy to think about. You know, I thought about that the other day. You know, why continue? But I feel like it'd probably be unfair to the rest of the team that is, you know, in the band that wants to still continue to make music. But
well, what's weird is they left. I mean, how many years ago did they disband, technically, right?
And then
they came back, they did reunion shows, and then I guess maybe they got the love of music back again, except for Matt, maybe.
Yeah, and
everyone else wants to continue, I guess. But I mean, I thought it was interesting to have his name is it's Hans Allgood, right? Singer of Holding Absence, right? Is that his name?
I think it's Lucas Woodward.
Oh, who am I thinking of?
I think that's Woe Is Me.
Oh, holy crap. My mind is still fucking fried.
I am
exhausted. Yes. Okay. So the lead singer of Holding Absence is going to be taking over, at least for Slam Dunk, right?
Yeah, at least for Slam Dunk, they said. I didn't read too much into that, but I when I went to go see Funeral for a Friend, they played.
Yeah.
They were fucking awesome.
Yeah,
so
they're the opener band. I've seen them here in the States as well. What's fun about Funeral for a Friend is I've seen them in the States, and I've seen them over in, you know, basically hometown.
You've seen them in the States? What, like 2009? Oh, man. So you've seen them once or twice here? Or like what? Do you remember what year that was?
I saw them two or three times here. It was each time they made it here, they played an area that was close by. They did a Warped Tour 1 year, too. I want to say that was 2005 or 2006.
Okay.
Somewhere around there.
I think they did. The first Warped Tour I went to was 08, and I know they played the year before that, but I'm pretty sure they also played 05, too.
Yeah, they wanted to really, you know, hit hours and all that kind of stuff for sure.
Yeah.
But
it's awesome.
Man, I would have loved to have seen them. What was it like being overseas seeing them?
Dude, it was, my mind is like fucking blown. Like, no, yeah, it was cool because, you know, that's a band that really, a scent like Wolves, especially our vocal style for me and Nick, when we grew up in England, we would see Juno would just come on Kerrang all the time on TV. And it's just a super heavy influence on our vocal, like melody style. And we met up with some friends who are from South Africa that live in London now.
Very cool.
Shout out to JP and Al. But we went out to dinner and stuff beforehand, close by to the venue. I forget what the venue was. I think maybe Electric Brixton.
Okay,
I'm not sure.
All right.
But it was packed. It was like a good size venue, like a standard club in the States would be.
Yeah.
And man, it was just like fucking crazy. Like when they came on, people just sort of lost their minds. Mm-hmm. And I believe at one point, Matt asked people in the audience, like, where is everybody from? Do we have anybody from far away? And I think Nick told him we were from Philly, but somebody else beat us. They were like, we're from South Carolina. And I was like, South Carolina?
That's like, really funny.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a random state.
It really,
you know?
Yeah, I know. To travel for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, it is. Well, the other fun, sorry, not to cut you off, but
the funny thing is
we had tickets for the Saturday.
Yeah.
And our friends were like, yo, we're going Friday. Do you want to go too? Well, there's still tickets left.
Oh.
And we were like, fuck it. So we went two nights in a row.
Awesome. Oh, I definitely would have done that. There's no way I would have passed that up. That is awesome.
Yeah, it just made sense to.
Yeah.
Like, that's why we were there anyway, you know?
No, that's very cool. I remember going over, I think it was 2007. I went overseas because I lived in England as well. We talked about that before. And I was visiting some people, going over to Germany, doing some other stuff. And it just so happened that Funeral for a Friend were playing in, I think it was Hammerstein.
Mm.
It was just like, oh, shit. Like, I'm going to go to this. I don't care. I'm just going to fucking go.
Yeah.
It turned out that the receiving end of Sirens was playing with them as well, and I had just hung out with that band the week before.
That's pretty crazy. Where
in Boston?
Where'd you hang out with them?
In Boston.
Oh, okay.
They went to the college I ended up going to. They actually did their internship as the band going on tour, and then would come back and study.
Wow.
And then go out on tour again for another 6 months and come back and study.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
It's a really weird story that they have, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't even say that, oh yeah, we're going over to play with one of the best bands of all time, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, so. Yeah, literally. Yeah, they had a great set too over there, man. They played all the classics, but
yeah.
I'm kind of upset that I didn't go over for the Casually Dressed 20-year tour.
Yeah.
That would have been like amazing, but you know, it was great just hearing all the songs from Hours and Tales to Tell Themselves,
yeah.
Casually Dressed too. So
nice.
Got a little variety mixed in there, you know?
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. That's awesome, man. Well, sorry for the tangent there.
Oh, no, it's all good.
So, you know, one thing to kind of build off that a little bit is Ascent Like Wolves aren't big on doing a lot of cover songs, but since you guys are, you know, you're influenced by bands like Funeral for a Friend, why not do a cover from them, especially when you have like some big reunion or something where it's the 20th anniversary of Casually Dressed or something like that? Would you guys ever do a full cover?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about like, we had a cover song that came out maybe like 10 years ago, mm-hmm. from Alex Clare, Too Close.
Yeah.
And I think that song sort of got lost on the internet. You could probably find it on there somewhere.
I have.
But yeah, we talked about covering a Fight Star song
yes.
before. We just haven't done it yet. But I think overall, we just would rather put out like our own music, or
yeah.
I've talked to our guitarist Jeff about just starting like a project where we only cover songs too.
Oh, okay.
So
I mean,
yeah,
definitely get traction.
Works.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of stuff does get attention, obviously, and then it can bring it to the band itself. But I think that's one thing I wanted to get into as well, because we had kind of talked about this. I had checked on you a little while back, and it seemed like maybe, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, it seemed like maybe you were a little frustrated on how long it was taking to have Distant Dystopia come out or how the band was going. Mm-hmm. What is the future of the band? Because you had put out multiple posts saying, hey, I'm looking for another band to join. Not that you were leaving Ascent Like Wolves, but that you were looking for something else to do as well. So what spurred that on?
Well, I mean, I guess it's the first time I'm actually talking about on here.
Okay.
But yeah, so Ascent Like Wolves, I think the future is very uncertain. I don't really know if we'll ever play a tour again or like play live again. It's sort of out of my hands. I feel like you know, Ascent Like Wolves has kind of just became like a passion project now. When it feels right to do it, like it feels right to do it. And okay. there's just been a lot of stuff happen, I think, since, you know, we sort of came off of a tour in late 2019, mm-hmm. and a couple months later, you know, the pandemic happened. So I think it just kind of changed like a lot of chemistry in people's
sure.
brains and the bands. But we also have gone through like vicariously like a lot of change too.
Yeah.
And we've all, literally everybody in the band has at least had like a new job or two since
yes.
that has happened.
Right.
And we finished up Mystic Auras in 2020 for like 2 days. We already had it recorded before the pandemic and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but so like we put that out, and it was just kind of weird because it was sort of the first time we've never really toured off of like an album,
right?
that's come out. And I don't know, I mean, we got too comfortable, and just like, I don't want to say things sort of fell apart, but you know, Nick sort of moved away.
Yeah, he went to Hawaii, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, so he lives in Hawaii. Just actually visited him a month ago there, which was awesome.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it was a nice little breakaway
yeah.
from the cold winters of Pennsylvania.
That's
but,
right.
yeah, so our guitarist Blake, he like has another job too, and he went back to school.
Okay.
And yeah, our guitarist Jeff, he has like a new job too. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Cody's also drumming, and if not for me, so that makes
yeah.
things logistically a little bit more difficult as well.
And Theoria,
just because, you know,
well.
We weren't doing anything, and I don't blame him for doing that.
Sure,
it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're kind of just like at a standstill where it's like, well, you know, we already had this music planned out to record, and we mm-hmm. have sort of like seen it through, but I don't really know what the future holds, man. You know,
okay.
We've, We've been looking for other guitarists to join our band. Blake has pretty much stepped down in that regard too. So we're kind of just, you know, two vocalists and a drummer, and our guitarist Jeff doesn't do the tours. He just sort of, you know, he's in the band, but he writes the music.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I think we've just spent a lot of time together, and we sort of just made that decision where, you know, if it feels right, we'll move forward and like we'll plan something or sure. do a tour again, you know, when I guess when the stars align, yeah. really.
Well, I think,
but you know,
yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think that nowadays you don't have to break up as a band. You know what I mean? Like someone can leave,
yeah.
someone can do, but you can.
That's true. Yeah,
you're just there.
We've
and then yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about that too. It's just like, we don't really need to put out a post like that or anything that we're not continuing, because it's like, I don't really know. I mean, bands do that shit all the time, like a funeral for a friend,
yeah.
for instance.
Right, right.
Where it's like, you know, when everybody goes on this farewell tour, but they come back 5 or 6 years later because newsflash, they still love playing the music.
Exactly.
I think it's healthy to take breaks in between these projects yeah. because they're really stressful and time consuming. And it's sort of like all you really know.
Yeah.
To a sense.
Right. Know? And you're balancing having other jobs as well.
Yeah. 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 It's like, you don't, you know, if you're like stuck in a record deal or something, you're not really making that much money. You're like yeah. doing okay, but you know, you're just kind of surviving. And I feel like, you know, 99% of America is just surviving
yes.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, I have a decent job right now, and it's
good.
The most money I've ever made, but
oh,
I'm still
right.
surviving.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yep. No, I got you.
But yeah, man, I mean, I'm kind of open to like seeing what's out there, and I want to join a band that's already pretty established and has
right.
management and booking. And
yeah.
stuff,
you're not trying to start from the beginning.
I'm not trying to start from the beginning, but I might have to. So it's, you know, I'm trying to avoid doing that, but I, as long as the talent's there, I think it can be done again. You know what I mean? So as long as I find somebody else talented to work with, like a guitarist
yep.
or a producer, it'll work itself out.
I'm going to talk to you off air about two bands that I have that
okay.
might be looking for somebody. So we'll talk off air. I'm not going to...
Sounds great.
It's a little tease for everybody, I guess, but I've been thinking about that a little bit. So it's one of those things where I appreciate where you're coming from, because it does seem like everyone in the band is doing something different for sure. But to be able to put out Distant Dystopia and then be able to get back together at some other point and make music, it only seems like you guys have continued to get better over time, even with everything else that is going on with life, which I think speaks highly to how talented you guys are and the passion you have for the band and for music.
Thank you,
I would
man.
Say right there, yeah, I appreciate that kind of thing for sure. Now, did this have anything to do with, so with Mystic Auras, you were on We Are Triumphant for that release.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went over to Theoria. Was it more, and Theoria is Cody and Chris from Softspoken's label. And I've had them on the show before. We've talked about all that kind of stuff. They,
yeah.
you know, they're still getting new bands and everything. Did you join Theoria more for the freedom of being able to not be locked into something that's going to continue to make you do things?
Yeah, and I that's definitely a good point. Our contract was over anyway
okay.
after Mystic Auras. So it just kind of made sense for us to go to Cody's label since he's in the band.
right.
But
yeah.
Creatively, we and like, you know, from like any angle, we could just do whatever we wanted to. And that's sort of, I feel like we sort of hit the nail on the head there with Distant Dystopia in that regard. It's just kind of like everything we've ever wanted to do. You know, we sort of, not that we haven't had to, you know, have creative freedoms in the past like that, but I remember when we first signed to We Are Triumphant, they wanted us to split our record up into two EPs, and we didn't want that as artists.
Okay.
And they sort of, so they like forced us to put out like this alternate lives, like, you know, kind of like a singles collection before
yes, that's right.
putting out the album.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't meant to be like that. The album was just meant to have 13 tracks, and we spent like forever making it. But that's just the kind of bullshit you go through when there's like too many hands in the cookie
sure.
jar,
sure.
you know?
Yep.
I feel like it sort of just blocks like an artist's true vision, as corny as that sounds, but
no, true. Look, one of the big things about something I still really enjoy about albums, because of course I like hearing in July, I liked hearing the new single. And then in September, I liked hearing the other new single, like for sure. But I enjoy a full-length album. And yeah. I thought one of the things you did that was very, very interesting with Distant Dystopia was playing around with, I don't know if you want to say the trope of having like interludes in a way, but you did have a couple tracks. Actually, I think it might have been almost three tracks that were, one was a heavier quick song, and the other two seemed to be almost like interlude-ish, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? And it kind of, it split the album in a different way and changed the flow of the album at the same time. And I always find that kind of thing to be very interesting, especially when I like to listen to an album front to back. And people have heard me, I'm sure there's a drinking game for the amount of times I've said something like front to back and all that kind of stuff. But I truly do enjoy that. Was that how you decided to set up the album?
Yeah, I mean, we sort of played around with some ideas. Well, I think it kind of stems back to like putting out Mystic Auras. We had two instrumentals on there. Yeah. We put one at the beginning and then we put one halfway through. And the reason for that is because we had all these batches of songs, but Mystic Auras was so dynamic, and we had each three of our guitarists at the time wrote songs for the album. And I think we were just kind of coming down on time. We couldn't write anymore. So we had a couple of interludes in mind, and one of them we created actually in the studio, Pink Dawn, and then Blake and I worked on Midnight Eyes at the time before we went into the studio, because we knew I sort of felt like we I don't know, we didn't give enough music to the fans, and this time we didn't want to do that. So that's why there's 12 tracks on the album instead. So but the cool thing about this record, I think, is that we sort of tackled that approach again, where we had a song for track one and then for track seven, which I think are both about halfway through. And Nick only sings on the first song, and he wrote all those vocals and all the melodies himself. I'm not on that track. And then track seven, Distant Dystopia, it's only me. Like, I do all the vocals and sing on there. So that was something that we'd never done before, and we thought that would be a cool idea to incorporate. And the other two songs that probably also seem like interludes are Halcyon, which is a song me and him both sing on, and it's just a clean song. And the other song you were referring to, Starship, where it's just like heavy as balls. And A Scent Like Wolves has never made a song before where it's just all screaming and heavy.
That's what I thought.
And we actually came up with that one in the studio like the night before we recorded like Interstellar the next day as like a prelude to it, sort of.
So that is very cool. I knew I had to ask about that because I knew there had to be a story about that.
I think we I don't know what came about that, but I think we were joking in the studio or something while we were recording, and I don't know, I think one of us brought up the idea where it's like, what if we just do a song that's just like all fucking screaming, like me and Nick just going hard as fuck on this song. And Jeff was like, all right. And I was like, yeah, just, you know, make it like a minute or something. And he literally wrote something that same night after we were already in studio for 8 hours. Wow. And I listened to it when we got home. And the next day, I think I tracked vocals to it.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was definitely like a cool experience. We've never done anything like that before. But it's cool to show the fans that like we can just kind of do anything or whatever we want to.
Well, I think that's why I mentioned at the beginning that I felt like you felt comfortable. You felt like you guys could do whatever you wanted to do. You weren't being hindered by anything, and you weren't being directed by anyone. And that's why I felt like this does. I mean, look, like I said, you know how much I love all the stuff you've done. I'm a huge fan of Frigid Futures, too. It's not like I'm saying, oh, no, that's not them or anything.
Right.
But I could tell it just felt like you guys had come into your own. And I don't think it was necessarily maturing, because I think that word gets thrown around too much. Evolution or evolving in music or anything like that, because I think that gets overused. But it just felt like you guys kind of fit into the pocket, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, I agree. I think that this is, I think, one of the first releases in a while where it was just sort of Jeff taking the compositions for the songs that we had, like, as a, you know, like we had a direct idea of like everything we wanted to do. We sort of talked about beforehand, besides the besides the minute and a half heavy song. Sure. Yeah, but like the interlude thing, you know, with the both of us singing on it, like that, we had that idea too. And I've had that idea for a while for Nick and I to just have our own songs on the record that were more like, you know, half electronic and half like a little heavy element towards the end of the song. And
sure.
I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like some of that stuff sort of gets lost in translation nowadays with bands. It's just, you know, what does the market want? What does Spotify want? Pump out a single, exactly. Gotta release a single every 2 months. And mm-hmm. I'm old school like you, dude. Like I love listening to full records and like just, you know, how everything ties together as well and like what the concepts are. And I think that I hope one day then the next generation of musicians can like feel that way and like get to experience that too.
Agreed. And I don't have high hopes. I don't have high hopes. I think we're a dying breed. I really do, unfortunately. But you did mention a word that always triggers me, which I love, and that's the concept.
Mm.
Obviously, there's a lot of references to sci-fi, space, things like that. The music videos are all animated and have something to do with space. And I wanted to kind of hit that as I think a lot of times with a concept album, you can kind of, if you have an idea of what you think the band is doing, you can apply lyrics to that stuff. But my question to you is this a full length concept, or are there parts of things that are concepts to what you would consider a greater story?
I think it's probably a little bit of both, but it's definitely a concept record. I mean, I probably told you this last time too, but I sort of come up with the titles even before we're like done making the previous album, like before that, where we're still working on it behind the scenes before it comes out and stuff too. So, Distant Dystopia. I want to say I came up with the title of that back in 2020.
Damn.
And I had that idea, sometime in the summer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know what? With the day we finished finishing touches on Mystagoras, I went home to my apartment at the time and it was like raining outside and I texted our guitarist Blake at that time about it. So I guess that's when it was, like almost 4 years ago.
Damn.
But so the concept slowly developed over time, but it is definitely has like a sci-fi edge to it. It's about the end of the world as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say that sort of came from the pandemic itself. I sort of had that idea for a while too, even like before that happened, because you know, I only came up with the title months into the pandemic, but that's always been on my mind too, because Nick and I are like big fans of you know, cinema and film and anime, and the whole band loves anything anime, so it's been a real dream come true to release these music videos and see them in that regard. You know, it's been fucking awesome to like just get them when we first get them from the media company, Eclipse Media. So
now how did you go about deciding on that, because that is different, especially for you guys? That's not something you have done before, and I've known about, you know, you guys liking anime. We've talked about that in previous shows and everything, and in person, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So how does it work with cost? Does a music video like that end up costing you more because of the animation, or does it actually balance out?
Yeah, I mean, Sunscape was a little more pricey because we filmed like some real life elements of us playing and then factored that into the video as well. So that took a lot of time, for them to, I think, complete, because the dude who actually did our videos, he's pretty cool.
Nice.
His handles Eclipse Media, but it's just him working on them. He doesn't have a team of people, so it sort of takes him a few months to do them. And I think he cut us a little break on the amount of what we needed to pay, which, you know, we're definitely grateful for.
Yeah.
I think he really liked the concept, and it was cool, man, because Sunscape is sort of the animation is based around the artwork itself from Corey Swope, who does our art for all of our releases.
That's Zombie Shark, right?
Yes, exactly. It was like tied off of the buildings on the front of the cover, and that's why I thought that song was like the perfect single for this album, because I sort of feel like, I don't know, it just has everything great about Distant Dystopia, like in that track, and it has a really good chorus, and don't know. Yeah. But yeah, it's just been cool to tie all that together, and it's definitely a concept record for sure.
Okay.
You know, there's like you were saying, you know, is it like real life moments on there too? Yeah. I mean, I feel like every artist has that, you know, like the song Halcyon actually is about a time that me and Nick were visiting our friend in Wales.
Okay.
When we were kids, and it's kind of just about like looking back on the better days of life, if you will, mm-hmm. when everything didn't matter and, you know, we didn't have like a care in the world. And
right.
we went to climb the top of this mountain or like hill area with our friends, and you could literally see the highway below, and it just, the cars looked like ants.
Right. Right.
So yeah, you know, you got that kind of stuff in there too, but I think that's sort of an important part about finding yourself lost in like this reality of a world that doesn't exist anymore. Yep. So that's sort of how we tied it in there.
No, I always appreciate that. I can't tell you how many times I've talked about concept albums on the show and how much I enjoy that, because I can pick up the vinyl, you know, read the lyrics as I'm listening mm-hmm. to the album, and you can kind of picture what you're going for in that storyline itself. And I think most of my favorite bands are, or have done at some point, some type of concept. Because I just think it gives so much range and so much extra to the music experience.
Yeah, I agree. It just like gives a greater sense of depth mm-hmm. in the catalog too, you know?
Yep.
I don't know. But I always look forward to that too. For instance, like Fight Star's Grand Unification record. Mm-hmm. It's like all about Neon Genesis Evangelion, or it's loosely inspired by that anime.
Yep.
So yeah, that's a good one.
I recently had, do you know the band Project 86?
Mm-hmm.
I had them on the show again, or Andrew on the show, because really his band. But his whole concept for Omni, the last, you know, two albums and stuff, has all been sci-fi. And it's all been mm-hmm. about, you know, an AI and aliens and taking over and, you know, yeah. huge multimedia companies taking over and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's been the whole, and if you look at the music videos, it ties in and there's a story that goes along with it. I'm always a big fan of that kind of thing. But
yeah, there's a spell of alien invasion in one of our songs too. That's what Starship is like gotcha. Almost about.
Okay.
So we might make a video for that song. It's actually, the videos actually tie into each other as well.
Yes. Right.
So and the first would be in a chronological order. It's like Spellcaster, Interstellar, and we might do one for Starship, but the final one is Sunscape.
Sounds good.
So
all right, very cool. Well, I know you guys, I mean, talking about anime and stuff, mm-hmm. I know you guys would jump at the chance to be able to do any style that is similar to that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
So I completely understand that. I'm surprised you haven't gone ahead and started writing your own anime.
Man, you're pretty good at like guessing this kind of shit, man. I'm not writing an anime, but I've been like playing around with making a animation of a show.
Oh, okay.
It's not anime, but it's like a cartoon
sure.
sort of. Yeah, but I'm not really completed working on it yet or anything.
Oh, for sure.
I'm trying to find the voice actors, I guess, but I myself would be one of them.
Oh, very cool. Very nice. Well, what a great segue to probably a very cliche question, but I got to put it out there, because the last time we had talked about Mystic Auras and everything, you know, I think you guys are really, really great with using features. And it's almost, to me, it feels like it's a lost art in a way, because every once in a while people will throw in a feature because it helps the algorithm. But people in the scene are not doing as many features as they used to. And it's kind of a shame. But you guys have always been very good about it. And on this album, you've got Marcus from Invent Animate, if I could speak. You've got, as we talked about, you've got Zombie Shark on there and Sailing mm-hmm. Before the Wind as well. And you guys are always very good at using, you know, Japanese bands as well. Mm-hmm. So Sailing Before the Wind, it's always great to hear them. So how did you, I mean, Zombie Shark is obviously their label mates with you as well,
mm-hmm.
but how did you decide on those specific three?
I think, well, we've always wanted to have Corey from Zombie Shark on one of our songs.
Yeah.
Pretty much since we've been a band, and it just felt like the right time to do it, honestly. You know, just because this is like the album we've sort of always wanted to make for ourselves.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was kind of a no-brainer. And we had like a good part for him to jump in on. And Sailing Before the Wind, we've done a couple of Japan tours with them. Yep. And, you know, we're homies with them. I actually write, lately I've been writing all their lyrics.
Oh, really?
For songs.
That's awesome.
So I work with the bassist Potoku on that. And we decided to, we labeled it that way, Sailing Before the Wind, I think because we have such a great friendship. But we had Ryuichi just do vocals on the song.
Right. Right.
So it wasn't like a full band effort, but it almost feels like one in spirit.
Sure, sure, that makes sense. Yep.
So that was cool working with them on a song because we were featured on one of their songs too. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why we did it that way is because they asked us a couple of months ago, or before we started planning like the data for the album, if they could feature our names just as a set like Wolves, and we were like, yeah, hell yeah,
yeah,
you know. Marcus was that was the last thing we had to do to turn in this record. we were pushing time, and we actually had a couple of like people drop the ball on doing the feature, which was very annoying.
Sure.
Before, so we had other ideas there, but he was very good about it, man. Honestly, he was very responsive.
Yeah.
I feel like we hit it off in a good way. So that's how I knew he would be the right person to do it. Plus Event Animate is an influence in the band too.
Sure.
So,
I mean, they're huge right now as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it was, we were in a good time and place to have that happen for sure.
Nice. Well, look, man, we're almost at an hour. Normally I'd say we should go longer, but yeah. I know you're not feeling that great. We got to talk off air. You're not feeling that great. Mm. I know my voice does not sound 100% still. I can hear it in my head. It's killing me. But
Sounds pretty good, man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, you sound fine.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, though, before we wrap everything up. Was there anything I missed about the album that you wanted to talk about? Anything about the band that you wanted to discuss or anything? Did I hit all the stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you sort of, you had the ideas of all the like interludes and sort of like the groundwork as to what we were trying to accomplish with this record, which is much appreciated.
Oh yeah.
I wish like some of the fans did, just because like some of the comments I read online. I forget where I read this, but somebody was like, "Skip the first song, Traveler. It does not sound like this band.
What
you won't get into this record."
That doesn't.
And I'm just like, well, man. Yeah, I'm just like, well, I mean, like, that sort of is the sound of the record, though.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's
at the same time, but
I find it harder, and I don't know if you feel the same way, because you don't want to feel disconnected from the people that listen and love your music.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very disconnected from the scene a lot, especially recently, the last few years. And I've talked about it on the show, I've been very open about it. I think people understand that. I want to push the music that I love and am passionate about, but I don't relate to a whole lot of the fans anymore. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I don't see or hear what they see and hear. And it's been tougher to have conversations about music. That's why I still love having this show, where I'm talking to you, I'm talking to other people that I respect their music and want to push it out there, that kind of stuff, have real conversations. But I feel completely disconnected from that person with, the Bad Omens shirt that's at the show just screaming for Bad Omens. Like, I don't know. I just don't feel that connection.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, maybe part of it's that, we're just getting older and there's that nostalgia kind of feel there. But I've been seeing that a lot too, where it's just like, I don't know what people want, man. I think they just kind of want like the same sounding metalcore band for each band. And we don't want to be that way.
Right.
Like, we want to stand out and like just be different and like do something that we are interested in making.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I've been seeing that a lot lately too, with these up and coming like metalcore bands and stuff that kind of just sound very similar. And, it just seems like that's what the fans want to hear all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just the same sounding like album from like 2020 or some shit like that. And
just adding a bunch of electronics and don't actually sing and can't pull off anything live. Yeah.
Yep.
That's, I mean, just over and over and over, rinse and repeat.
Yeah, disappointing. You know what I mean? It's like, is there going to be anybody innovative here, like trying to make some changes? Like, what's the next style of sound? Because we've been in that Bad Omens kind of like rock metalcore era for a little bit, you know? Like, what's the next wave of metal or like punk music or emo music that's going to, you know, fall into our laps, so to speak?
To be quite honest, man, the only thing that I hear now is people adding way more pop elements to what they're doing. Like, you almost want someone who's incredibly heavy to come along and just tear everything apart. Like, I think there's a, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a reason why they're still like Knock Loose can put out any song whatsoever and people are going to like it because they seem to stay heavy. You know what I mean? And where other band, and then you obviously you have the other spectrum of, you know, Sleep Token and Bad Omens and I Prevail. All these bands are adding pop and rap to what they do. And that's their whole thing. But then you kind of leave the scene when you do that. So I almost feel like people are screaming for literally more screams. I don't think they want the same old breakdown, but I think they want something heavier to differentiate themselves from Taylor Swift.
That's true. Yeah, I can see that. For me, I think it's interesting because, I don't know, man, I find myself just kind of like, going back to the bands that I grew up on. Sure. I mean, next month, actually, next month, I'm going to see Fightstar at Wembley Arena in the UK.
That is so fucking awesome. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be great. I'm actually going with Corey from Zombie Shark.
Oh, very nice.
Nick. Nick is flying from Hawaii.
Wow.
To London.
How long is that? Show. How long is that fucking trip?
I don't know, man. It's got to be like at least 14 hours or something like that. It's halfway across the world.
When is that show?
I think it's March 22nd.
All right, gotcha. All right, so you got a little bit of time. Yeah. I was wondering because if I do end up getting these Liverpool tickets, I was like, are they in the same time? Because then I try and do something. But
When's the match?
It's like April 4th or 5th.
Okay, that's not...
There's no way I can take that long off of work.
That's kind of pushing it. I agree.
All right. I need to hear all about that when you get back. That is for sure, because that sounds awesome. Okay. Yeah. And by the way, for anyone who's listening, because I did have this conversation recently with someone, they were asking about older bands. And just like you mentioned, I never stop listening to those bands. But I do find myself going back a lot more, you know, to the old school Silverstein, to Funeral for a Friend and From First to Last and From Autumn to Ashes. Like all that kind of stuff.
That's the only band from First to Last, by the way, not to cut you off. That's the only band on my bucket list that I haven't gotten to see live.
Did you hear hear about their snub? The snub from Wish You Were Here? Sorry, it's not Wish You Were Here. When we were young.
Yeah, I saw them tweet about that,
And it blew my mind because that's something I had questioned as well. I was like, why aren't they on? Like, that would be the perfect time to do that.
I agree.
It's funny, they are so under the radar of such an influential band to people, but for some reason, they don't get the credit that they deserve.
Yeah, I see that a lot too, man. I don't really understand that because from first to last, sort of, you know, that I feel like that's kind of a gateway band that would take you into heavier music, you know, as well as having the emo, like, you know, undertones there and stuff. But I mean, my controversial opinion of that band is that the Matt Good era is the best era.
When it comes to memorable songs.
Yeah.
I think I have to go with Sonny, but I totally agree. When I had Matt on the show, and that was one of my favorite moments was having Matt on the show, was because I think he's an amazing vocalist. I think he's an awesome producer. If they said right now, we're going out on tour and Matt's going to be doing all the I'm fine. Have Travis scream.
I think they said that on Twitter maybe like a couple months back.
Yeah, but then they didn't do it. And I think Travis is still working on If I Die First and that kind of stuff. But yeah, man, I'm with you. Put Matt on there and let's just go.
Yeah, let's just go, man. Like, just
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think I read something about Travis putting out, or he mentioned like doing like a Thrown to the Wolves 2 kind of record for them, and I was like, that'd be fantastic.
What a great fucking album that is. But what I meant to say before we went on the tangent was I spoke to someone recently talking about old school bands that people might want to check out, and Fight Star was one of them. If you're listening right now and you've never heard of Fight Star, or you've never heard of some of these bands that we just listed off, go back and listen. Like, you're not going to take away from all the bands you're still listening to, but go listen to some of that classic stuff and understand why we have the love and passion for the music that we have, because that stuff does not go away. It's not like a movie where you go, this doesn't hold up. Right. All that stuff holds up.
Yeah, I think it's important to, not forget like the history of music that way too, because, like you said, like some of these bands wouldn't even exist. Here's a funny thing that I actually saw or like heard in an interview or watched or somewhere. Ed Sheeran, one of his favorite records is Fight Star Grand Unification.
Right.
Like, that's what he grew up on.
Yep.
So he might not even be doing the shit he's doing if it wasn't for that album.
Very true.
So go listen to that album, everybody.
Go listen, everybody.
Listening to this.
And how about this seg? Also, go listen to Distant Dystopia, please. For sure.
Yeah, that's right.
So I will have links in the description of the episode so that everyone can follow you guys, can pick up a vinyl of the new album, can support you guys for sure. But until then, Al, what is the best way for people to support you guys?
Just go listen to our music anywhere you can. It's available anywhere. Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you listen to music. And honestly, purchasing like a physical copy of the record helps us more than you know. Yep. These vinyl are going to be so beautiful, man. We put some real TLC into them.
Nice. I will be getting one. Yep, just like I have for the other ones too.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Thank you.
Man.
Thank you.
I'll have those descriptions. No, I will have those links in the description of the episode so we make it very easy. But dude, I'm so glad we got to do this. It's been a while since we've caught up. The show. So I really appreciate it. And even, having to deal with the illness and not feeling well this week, I'm just very glad that you were able to do it because I love catching up with you. So I wish you the best. I hope you feel better. We're going to talk off air for a little bit, but thank you once again for taking the time, man. Much appreciated.
Dude, thank you for taking the time, man. It's always a great time talking to you, dude. Love it.